Hey, everybody. Yes, welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. Hey, Jimmy, my name's Jason Rothman. As always, I'm joined by the great Chris Schaefer. Chris, you're loosey-goosey today. What's going on? You're moving around a lot. Let's dial it in, focus. Time to bring it together here.
Yeah, thank you, Jason. I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. It's good to be here. I'm proud to be 51% of the greatest Google Ads podcast in the world. We deliver solid content every freaking week. It's amazing. Who would have said, they listen to these guys, these nobodies, and they said, these guys can do this for like 6-8 years, you know? Who would have said that? No one. But we're still here. We're still here. Proud to be here. Proud of what we've made.
Yeah, Chris.
And let's keep it going.
333 episodes in. Today we're going to be talking about dynamic search ads, doing a deep dive on that. Going to introduce everyone to dynamic search ads. I was looking at the different kinds of ad group types that you can filter in Google Ads, and today to find some dynamic search ad groups, and there's a lot of ad groups. So yeah. A lot of ad group types. So there's
stuff
plenty
been sunsetted.
More to talk about as well.
Yeah, there's been some that have been killed off, but yeah, it's a lot of stuff you never heard of. Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
Well, Chris, you look good. You look good.
Thank you.
What's going on with the undershirt, though, for people on YouTube? Is that maroon?
Yeah. You know, I had a crappy shirt underneath, and I keep nice shirts here in my office so I can put them on so I look nice on camera. You don't need to point out that I have a maroon shirt underneath. You could just continue.
Points itself out. Undershirts that are not the color white, that's kind of a thing that just hasn't taken up yet, but it's like, why not? You know, it's just a shirt under your shirt. Why do I care? Why do people care?
Had a roommate in college who said that he subscribed to the kimono style of undershirts. When you look at a kimono, it's like this, you know, I don't know much about them, but this is what he said. You know, on the inside, it's like this bright yellow, you know, like the bright, vibrant colors on the inside. And that's the way he did his undershirts. You know, he would have just like a normal shirt and then bright colors underneath. You know, I don't know what he meant by it or, you know, why, but that's what I'm going to say. Jason, I adhere to the kimono style undershirt.
You want to do like a little fashion before we get into the show?
Oh, that's totally what people are here for.
Share with you?
Yeah, let's definitely do that.
Yeah, I think some are. Why don't you go with a V-neck? I just picked that up like in the 29th year of life a few years ago.
It's
paid off. I enjoy it.
80% of my undershirts are V-neck, Jason, but I threw a crappy old shirt on after I got back from lifting tremendous weight from the gym. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't think about the fact that it was recording day for the podcast. So I quickly threw on this shirt. So there we go. Are you happy? I'm sorry.
Yeah, with the undershirt, but now we can discuss the top shirt. No, I'm kidding. All right, Chris, why don't you give us a message about Opteo, and then we will get into dynamic search ads.
If you are not trying Opteo, I'll tell you what, you're in the minority at this point. I keep hearing about how people saying, thank you so much, Chris, for telling us about Opteo. Seriously, it's really crazy. I mean, there has to be so many people subscribe to this tool, and so many people are saving time and improving their campaigns constantly because this tool helps you to generate so many great ideas about what you're missing, you know, what you're not seeing in the account. And I'll tell you, I have an inside ear on things. They're coming out with new stuff and they're not charging for more of this new stuff. They're rolling it into this already great package. Stay tuned because you'll hear more about that. But I'll tell you, jump in now because if you start your it's an 8-week free trial. They just upgraded it. 8-week free trial to Opteo at opteo.com/PSP. That's the specific URL to go to. It's in the description. Click on that and you can get an 8-week free trial. You won't regret it. It's worth it. You'll love it, guaranteed.
Okay, thanks, Chris. So let's talk about dynamic search ads. We're going to today talk about kind of what they are, how they target your different options, and when are some good situations to use them and some situations when you shouldn't use them. But before we get into all of that, Chris, why don't you just start us off, I want to talk about our background with dynamic search ads. I've never like created one. I've seen a lot of clients use them, and then some seem to have good results, some don't. But the lack of control is something that scared me away. But now with Performance Max, I'm kind of getting into that world more and more, where you kind of collaborate with Google Ads. And so I'm very interested now in dynamic search ads. But what's your background with them?
Well, I've definitely used them. It is absolutely not a primary method. It's not in my standard build out. It's usually something that is kind of down the list of things to try for me, mainly because I prefer, and I'll say right at the top, I prefer other more manual tactics to what the dynamic search ads can do. But they definitely have their place. And I can't say that there's ever been a situation that it's saved the campaign, you know, that it's saved the whole account. But if it's done right and done in the proper method, it absolutely can help. And it doesn't necessarily hurt to have it.
Yeah. And I've seen some situations where there's very, very difficult accounts that I've worked on. And they're the kind of accounts where there's a ton of different ways that people can search for things. And some of those ways could produce good traffic. Sometimes the same keywords could produce bad traffic. And it's very difficult to control with negative keywords, because on exact match keywords, we were showing up for different sorts of searches that we didn't want to show up on. So it was like very hard to control. And in that situation, I found that dynamic was kind of a big winner. That was hard to replicate the success. So I'm intrigued by them, because I have seen situations where they've kind of really impressed. And with Performance Max, to me, they're kind of like the godfather of Performance Max that kind of started it off. And if you want to do Performance Max, but only on search, that's kind of the way I'm looking at.
That's interesting.
Dynamic search ads.
Interesting way to think of it. Yeah. I mean, it's not quite as complex of a system, a little more transparent, which is nice. Right. Let's not downplay that.
Yeah, more control. We'll talk about it. Search terms, negative keywords.
That's a benefit. Yeah. That's a benefit.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like that. It's kind of the more manual method of a Performance Max. That's interesting, but strictly for search. Interesting.
Yeah. So let's talk about what dynamic search ads are. Chris, is it fair to say these are ad groups inside of search campaigns?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Why don't you take us from there?
Yeah. So when you hear dynamic search ad, you might think that, you know, you need to go to the Google Ads ad tab to see this. No, that's just the name. So don't be confused by the name.
Or a campaign. Some people might think going to a campaign.
Right, right. It's not a campaign. It's not an ad. It's not a keyword or anything like that. You're going to build a new ad group. So it's an ad group type. Okay, so the standard is called standard, which is where you choose keywords and you write an ad and launch it. That's it.
That's a normal ad group.
That's a normal, they call it a standard ad group. A dynamic ad group basically has zero keywords and one ad that you provide a little bit of input in. You can add some descriptions. You don't write headlines, and they don't really require you to be creative in your keywords that you choose. There are no match types. We'll go into a little bit about, you know, how you do this, but that's basically what it is. You give it some direction, you give it a little bit of ad copy, and then you turn it on, and the whole thing just runs dynamically. Really quite simple.
So it's an ad group type inside of a search campaign. You have your standard ad groups, which are your regular ad groups, and then you have your maroon. No, I'm kidding, Chris.
Like, that's not standard. Yeah.
Undershirt there.
Yeah.
You have your dynamic search ad groups. And I think basically all you have to do, Chris, is feed the system, your website domain or specific pages on your website that you want it to draw targeting inspiration from and headline inspiration from. So you give it the pages or page or domain, just the overall domain, and then you pick out different categories that they recommend, and you can get a little preview of what they would show you on based on the page or pages that you put in there, and then you write your descriptions, your ad descriptions, and then you hit go. Is that basically as easy as it is?
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, it's...
That's very easy. That's very easy.
I mean, on the simplest level, you could just grab everything. You could just say, target my website, and then write a couple simple descriptions, and literally could take you a minute and a half to do the whole thing. I mean, that's as simple as it gets. There's nothing else quite as simple and straightforward as that.
And then just to recap here, what they are, I'm going to say it's the easiest way to run search ads, and I'm going to say even easier than broad keywords.
Yeah, yep.
In a standard ad group. I'm going to say it's the easiest way to run ads on search. The dynamic search ads, they use your website's content to know what search terms, to know what searches to run your ads on, and they use your website's content to write the headlines of these search ads. You punch in the website, or going deeper, the pages you want them to choose the targeting from and write the headlines from, and then you add in your descriptions, and then you hit go. So that's what dynamic search ads are. Chris, let's get into the benefits of dynamic search ads. We just went over literally how easy this is. Because it's easy, that can lead to a lot of benefits. What are some benefits of running a dynamic search ad group?
The benefit for me is that when it comes to being creative in Google Ads and not knowing what you're not getting, dynamic does that for you. You can get any kind of traffic that you might be missing out on that you wouldn't have already thought of. Now, I'll tell you, like I said and hinted at earlier, my preferred way is usually to use broad match keywords in very specific methods. I feel like that's a little bit smarter methodology to do things, but this is definitely a very simple way of achieving that same end result. So the benefit is, you know, it's even simpler, it's even faster, it's quicker to do, and you don't have to be creative, right? The thing about broad match keywords, if you were to choose those instead, you have to first come up with the broad match keyword, and you can make some bad decisions about the broad match keyword that you choose. If you are a roofer and you just choose broad match roofer as a keyword, probably a bad decision as far as a broad match, you know, you won't make that same mistake in a dynamic search ad group.
Yeah. And we'll talk about potentially depending on how your website is set up and the strength of your website. But yeah, so I think the biggest benefit is you don't have to do keyword research and you don't have to pick your own keywords. And if you have if you don't have the experience in terms of how to find keywords and how to select them, this will do it for you because it chooses what searches to show on based on the page that you tell it to run. Some other benefits here, Chris, are the speed. Like I was setting up some before our podcast today. If you know what you're doing, you know how to move around inside of a Google Ads account, you can set it up in like 2 minutes or 1 minute.
One and a half.
Very, very.
That's what I said.
One and a half minutes on average. Yeah. Very, very 90 seconds.
There we go.
Yeah. 3600s. Yeah. it can be fast is the point. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, Chris, likely high click-through rate and good traffic, because if your website is set up the right way, if you're feeding the dynamic search ad group the right data with your page titles and the content on your website, they're going to show you on pretty good searches. I mean, pretty relevant to your business, because that's how they're choosing the searches to show you on. And then I'm going to say a likely high click-through rate, because the titles on your website, that kind of influences the headlines. Mm-hmm. And if your headline is like Roofer in Dallas, or the page title is Roofer in Dallas, and that's what they use as a headline, that's probably going to generate a nice click-through rate for you. I like the control. Another benefit, you can do it for your whole domain or just certain pages. And then you get search terms and you get negative keywords. So there is an aspect of control here that we don't have yet on Performance Max. So speed plus control plus kind of bowling with bumpers. You're not going to get yourself in trouble, most likely. I think those are all the benefits of running a dynamic search ad group. So, Chris, why don't you kind of get into how that targeting works? How does the system take the page that you punch in there and come up with targeting?
Yeah, here's the beauty of how the whole system works, because how do you run a Google Ads ad group without keywords? Well, the keywords are supplemented by the content on your website. If you did not know, there's an entire system of algorithm bots, machines, AI, whatever you want to call it, that goes around reading websites, reading pages of websites, and categorizing those websites and putting them into, you know, it's like a giant librarian running all over the place and categorizing everything so that it can put things in order and understand this goes here, this is this, these two pages are the same kind of content, they go together. So it takes that categorization method and then uses it to match to searches that appear to match to that category. So it substitutes the keyword, which would be that, you know, Google's going to look at a keyword and understand it to be a certain category, certain type of thing. It's going to supplement that keyword for the content on your website. So down at the most basic level, it's really just a signal system of person looking for ABC and your website matches to ABC and it's going to show your ad if you have budget, if you have bid appropriate and you're targeting that area. So you have all the same kind of targets geographically. You can choose where the ads are going to show. You have bids. You can choose your own bids if you want to do manual, you want to do automated, max conversions, max clicks, all that kind of stuff applies at the same level. All the campaign settings apply in the same way that they do for everything else. It's just the keywords are no longer there. To get even more granular, and I know there's other ways, Jason, you can go into some of the other ways. There are a lot of different ways to choose how Google interprets that category. You can say only this website, right? Or let me say it different than that. Only this URL. So only this one page. Or my entire website. Categorize that. And any page from my website you can send people to. Or only send them to these three landing pages. And only use these landing pages as the targeting method for this dynamic search ad group. So really can get very specific. Jason, there's other ways too.
Yeah, but as I understand it, the main way is the page you punch in. I think you can tell it like page URLs containing certain words.
Yeah.
So then if you have rules, a variety of pages, so if you're selling shoes, any string that uses shoes, and then I think you can upload a spreadsheet of a ton of URLs. So I think I can see a lot of situation where hotels or e-commerce websites are using dynamic because I associate those kind of websites with websites that have a ton of pages. The service companies I work with, unless they have a huge developed blog that they've been running for years and years and years, which can be a great asset for a dynamic search ad group and that kind of targeting, most of them have like 3 to 5 pages on their website and there's not too much, or maybe 10, but there's not too much you can do with it. But I think I like the way you phrased that earlier, Chris. Everything else is the same, and you have to remember that with a dynamic search ad group. Like the settings are still a search campaign settings, and the conversion tracking is still conversion tracking. It's just that instead of punching in keywords into your ad group and the ad headlines, which I think are a smaller deal in terms of the change in performance here, but the keyword is just the keyword targeting is just kind of replaced by punching in URLs and then telling Google, find, show me on searches that are relevant to these URLs.
Yeah.
And that's about it, right? I mean, it's a pretty good way to think about it in a very simple way.
Yeah. I mean, there's a whole black box of mystery here. We don't know exactly how they're going to interpret your pages. And I'll tell you what, you said it at the top. It all depends on how crappy your website is.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, if you don't know how Google's going to interpret your URL, your page, take that URL and put it into the keyword generation tool that's inside of each search ad group and see what keywords it thinks your website is categorized under.
Now this is where you are in a regular standard ad group, you're on the keyword page, you hit the plus sign to add new keywords. You can add them in a box, but over to the right side, you can punch in a URL it'll help you generate keywords. So you're saying punch in the page in question and see what they come up with as suggested keywords. That will give you a clue on what they'll show you on for dynamic search ad groups?
Yeah, because if you think about it, that's the same technology that's going to be determining the category of your page for the dynamic search ads.
Same technology.
Punch that in there, see what it generates. And if you're like, oh gosh, these are not right, maybe you should go back to the basics of, you know, page title, content, H1 tags, stuff like that. Maybe you're missing the mark on your copywriting on your page.
Yeah. And before we take a break here, Chris, let's talk about how the headlines work when you create a dynamic search ad group. Like I was saying earlier, I think the biggest deal here is that they pick your keywords or they pick the searches you show up on for you based on the pages you punch in there. But the other thing they're doing from those pages is they're generating the headlines of your search ads based on the data on those pages. That's how I understand it works, Chris. Are there some more nuances? Like, do we have any control? Why don't you walk us through that?
Yeah. The fact is, I mean, if you're jumping down the dynamic search ad arena, I don't know what, I lost it there. My brain just...
You can call it a bandwagon. I'm starting the bandwagon.
Okay. Bandwagon.
I'm starting the bandwagon like 6 years into this show, 333 episodes in, 8 years in my career. I'm inspired based on Performance Max and how this is kind of a search-centric, more control, more data Performance Max. I'm loving it. So let's start the bandwagon.
If you're on that bandwagon, you are not welcome on that bandwagon. If you want finite control of your messaging, there's no pinning of headlines. It's literally not even a blank. It just says dynamically inserted. Dynamically created.
I've got it here, like Chris. Dynamically generated headline.
That's it. It's like, you don't even get a choice. It's like, hey, we got this. You get the descriptions, which are, they're great.
More characters. Know?
Yeah. You got lots of stuff you can say, and people are definitely going to not read that. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Don't go after something like this if you're looking for finite control of messaging. They're 100% dynamic. You get no control what's said in these headlines. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, a cool combination here would be if they gave us the dynamic ad group option where you could punch in a page URL and they'll create the searches. I don't want to call them keywords because you don't see keywords, but they choose the searches you show up on along with a full-blown responsive search ad where you have 15 headlines that are under your control and four descriptions. That would be pretty cool. But in this case, the headlines are not under your control. They're generated from the website content, and it looks like primarily the page titles on your pages on your website that you're using.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, if the biggest thing that I see, and a lot of people do this on your website, you know, you set up a new WordPress website, you know, and you create a template, and your template begins with company name, city, and then maybe some kind of call us now. You know, that's your template for every page title. And then at the very end of that, it has like roofing services, you know. Mm-hmm. That's the wrong way to do things if you're going to be running a dynamic search campaign or ad group, because it's going to be using those page titles to generate these headlines. And the last thing you want to do on all of your headlines is just say your company name over and over again, or just say, you know, just city name plus roofers. You know, I mean, there's nothing creative there. So
just the word contact or just the word home.
Oh yeah. Home. Yeah. Can you imagine an ad that says homepage for, you know, Cincinnati roofers?
No, just home. That's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering like how much, if someone really does have a bad website in the sense they haven't developed their page titles, and they punch in a URL here, I'm wondering to what extent Google would be able to go beyond the page title.
I don't know.
I would think a little bit, but I guess I don't want to try it because I want to only do it with websites that have good page titles.
Yeah. So if you're going to use this, have good page headlines, good titles, make sure they're clear, not your company name, be descriptive, or your dynamic headlines will be very bland, boring, unappealing.
Okay, so Chris, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we get back, we're going to close out here talking about when are good situations to use dynamic search ad groups and when are situations when you should not use dynamic search ad groups.
welcome back. I want to remind you, if you haven't done it yet, get on the bandwagon to check out Optio. The bandwagon is leaving, but there's a couple more. You can still catch the amazing deal that they're offering this year for you to get an 8-week free trial. That you get no payment that's going to come through for 8 weeks. That's 2 months. You're going to get to go through their system, see how much their system can benefit your process, your daily, weekly process of going through your Google Ads account or multiple accounts, especially if you're a agency out there, you are a freelancer that's trying to scale up your clientele and get some money flowing in, you know, get mama a new car. She needs, and what you need to do is you need to get more done faster, and Optio can help you do that. Optio.com/PSP.
Okay, Chris, so let's wrap up here talking about situations to use, but first situations to not use dynamic search ad groups. And so some situations where you would want to avoid using a dynamic search ad group. I think number one is when your website changes a lot. So if you're constantly changing your URLs, if you're constantly changing the content on your website, that might be a time you don't want to use dynamic search ad groups. Another example would be if you just have bad page titles, if they say home, if they just say your company name, if they don't really describe what you do or what the service is on that service page, that would be a time where you don't want to use dynamic search ads.
And Jason, just to be clear, because people don't necessarily know what a page title is, let me just say a page title is what shows up. If you open your website, go to your services page, go to your contact page, you know, go to some page, then open up a new tab and look at the name of the tab of the page you just opened. Well, look at the name of the tab of your website. So whatever page you're on, it's going to be the name of the tab. That's the actual page title. So it's not visible typically anywhere except for search engines. Search engines are going to see that because it's not going to be necessarily whatever is in the H1 tag. You know, whatever's in the giant bold letters up at the very top in your header, that's not it. It's actually metadata that is assigned behind the scenes. So
yeah, behind the scenes. It's not on the page. It's not visible.
Very important. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, Chris, you have some notes here about like if you should use this as your primary kind of ad group or if you're wanting full control. So situations where it would not be a good fit in terms of Google Ads management. Why don't you walk us through that?
Yeah. I'm going to recommend, hey, and that's what we do here. We make recommendations, generalizations for people.
V-neck shirts.
That's right. Yeah.
That's what we're here for. Yeah.
That's what we're here. Maroon, I would recommend that you not use dynamic search ads as your primary method of search, period. Like, don't spend the majority of your budget there. Don't put your faith entirely into dynamic. I would not recommend it as your primary method of lead generation, traffic, whatever. It should be something that is an add-on. Your primary source is always going to be, when it comes to search, it's going to be keywords. It's going to be detailed, contextually understandable, focused quality traffic that comes through phrase match, exact match, or carefully crafted broad match keywords. There we go. Does that sound good?
It does. It sounds good. Can I push back a little bit? Just a little bit?
That's what you're here for.
Well, I'm just being honest, you know. We're not the same. We have different takes. And I don't want to be as harsh on it. I want to say early on, why can't it be the primary? Like an introduction to Google Ads, an introductory campaign or use of your campaign with the ad group here, I can kind of see it serving that role if you're not up to speed with keyword research, if you're just not sure, but you have a really good website and you want to start advertising it. I kind of like it as a place to just start now. Whether you're brand new to Google Ads and you don't know how to do keyword research or you're the best in the planet, but you want something to go today, like in the next 90 seconds, like we talked about. I really like it for that kind of just get going aspect. So, yeah.
Okay. I mean, if you want to really just get going and start winning from the beginning, you can go to chrisschafer.com.
Wow. Okay. Wow. So, Chris, when to use these? I just kind of threw it out there, like a great introductory ad group type. I keep wanting to call it a campaign because it does seem such like a different kind of campaign.
Yeah.
But it's a great way to get started. a great way to get going if you want speed. And I would say this, if you look at your website, if you've spent a lot of money with a great website developer, building out your website and you're confident in your page titles, you know what page titles are, you've got a ton of information on your site. And by the way, one of the times you don't want to use it is if you're like a fancy agency out there and there's just a never ending waterfall video that plays on your homepage, but no words, basically. The Google can't really read the waterfall and go, oh, local advertising agency. So if you're like very picture heavy and not text heavy, that could be a time not to use it. But alternatively, if you have a ton of great text on your website, whether you have a bunch of pictures or not, but if you have a ton of great text for Google to scan and figure out what you do and who you should be advertising to, it can be a great start. And if you want to start fast, which I like speed, you can get going. And then Chris, you've got some notes here about it can be a phishing campaign. It can be a exploratory campaign. Ad group type, kind of break that down.
Yeah. So if you, like I said at the top, my favorite way to use it is for testing, finding things that you don't know what you don't know. You don't know what you're missing. So maybe it'll find some things that fill in the holes of some creativity, some discovery that you haven't tried before. So if you want to go out and have a phishing campaign where you're trying to find some new ideas and you don't even really know where you should even start, dynamic search ads are a great place to start. As we've described, very simple and relatively in Google Ads, pretty risk-free compared to a lot of other methods, which is a big statement.
Yeah, you got to have a website that communicates to the world, communicates to Google search robots and all that, what you do. And as long as you do that, it's pretty risk-free. And then you can layer on top of that, you get to see a lot of your search terms and you get to add negative keywords. And with all those things going for you, that's a lot going in your favor. So, Chris, we both love doing this. We've been doing it for years and years. You're at chrisschafer.com.
Yes, sir.
I'm at rothmanppc.com. We have links in the description. Thank you for listening, everybody. And we will be back next week with episode 334. We'll see you then.